Support for this public radio podcast comes from Acura, featuring the TL Type S with a 286-horsepower V6 and real-time traffic alerts. Learn more at Acura.com.
From KQED Public Radio, this is the California Report. Good morning, I'm Rachel Miro. A federal judge in Los Angeles has temporarily set aside some of the tough restrictions she imposed on naval exercises involving sonar. Her decision defers to President Bush, who moved to exempt the exercises from environmental laws earlier this week, citing national security. The Navy still has to comply with some safeguards, like steering clear of well-known marine mammal haunts off the coast. Civil rights attorneys are suing Hollywood Presbyterian Medical Center over an incident last year when a paraplegic man was dumped on Skid Row. Witnesses told police the van driver who dumped the man ignored pleas to help as a crowd gathered to watch the man crawl in the gutter dragging a catheter bag. The hospital says it's taken steps to prevent similar incidents. State lawmakers have a lot of questions about the lean spending plan handed to them by Governor Schwarzenegger. Yesterday, Senate and Assembly committees met to begin what is certain to be a contentious budget process. Tamara Keith reports from our Sacramento Bureau.
Over the next 18 months, the state faces a $14.5 billion deficit. Governor Schwarzenegger has proposed an across-the-board 10% spending cut. Democrat Elaine Alquist said that approach isn't going to fly.
Because we have certain priorities. This is going to be a line-by-line item kind of thing we are going to have to go through together.
Chief Deputy Finance Director Vince Brown said you'd be hard-pressed to find enough low priorities.
Are there any low-priority programs that we can cut to get to a solution for a $14.5 billion deficit, a deficit of that magnitude? Unfortunately, requires some very, very difficult choices.
Because the governor declared a fiscal state of emergency, the legislature has to slice some $3 billion from the current year's budget before the end of next month. For the California Report, I'm Tamara Keith in Sacramento.
In recent months, we've been taking a close look at feature-length documentaries shortlisted for the Oscars by the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences. California filmmakers are well represented in the pack. Today we focus on The Rape of Europa, the story of the systematic theft and destruction of Europe's art treasures during the Nazi era. Co-producer Richard Burge says the film is based on the book with the same name by Lynn Nicholas, plus original research from the documentary filmmakers.
In Poland we found films of the destruction of the Warsaw Castle and the intentional burning down of neighborhoods, and which was shocking. I had never seen that before. In Russian archives, we found films about what happened in St. Petersburg that I hadn't seen before, and the protection of art at the Hermitage. What you find looking at the archives of Europe is that the people there, not only the art experts, but the average citizen, took great pride in their art and took it upon themselves to do whatever it took to protect it.
There are a lot of stories of heroism, actually, people putting their lives at risk just to save artwork in a time when human life was pretty cheap.
Inside the archives of the National Museums of France is a volume of handwritten notes which traces the journey of the 16,000 paintings stolen from Jewish Parisians during the war. Compiled in great secrecy, it is the work of Rose Valland, a dedicated curator who is today considered a heroine of France, and certainly its most unlikely spy.
After the war, they were able to recover those and bring them back. But there were many paintings that they were unable to determine where they came from. And so they were put into government collections and put in embassies around the world. And some have argued that there was no diligence in trying to later return those, and they just languished in these places. It was only in the 90s that, with some pressure, the French government reopened those and allowed claimants to look and see what they had, and a lot of things got returned at that point.
It would seem with a lot of the modern court cases, I'm thinking of Marion True at the Getty in Los Angeles and other cases involving the Metropolitan Museum of Art, that this question of who owns the art and what the provenance is not history at all. It's very much a modern issue that's still alive.
Yeah, I think there's a case to be made, at least, that the whole issue of restitution of Nazi-looted art has opened up the attention and the interest of people who want to recover other kinds of art. The cases having to do with Nazi art looting continue. At the Norton Simon, there was recently a big dispute about a pair of Kronach paintings that are jewels of that collection that came from a family of persecuted Jews, and the question was when those paintings left their collection.
Why has it taken so long for the people, the families that knew that they had art that was stolen, to raise the issue, to start banging on the door saying this was actually ours?
Owners of these things who survived the war, in most cases, made claims right after the war. In the case of the recovery by Maria Altman's family of five paintings by Gustav Klimt, and those, after she recovered them from Austria, came and showed at the L.A. County Museum, and then she later sold them. Her family had been fighting that in the 50s, 60s. There had been some settlement. They had gotten some of their property back, but a lot of it hadn't been, and governments in Europe weren't really working in good faith in a lot of cases.
The paintings belonging in the museums, they have to be seen by the public, but not in Austria when they keep them there under a lie. What upsets me so is the total injustice that they don't admit that they are not theirs.
Across the country, museums are looking into their collections to figure out what the provenances are.
Are museums looking, or do they look when a lawyer rings them up?
Well, actually, I think lawyers do tend to focus the attention. But in the end of the 90s, the major museums of the American Association of Museums came together and started with paintings and collections that had gaps in provenance during the Nazi era from 1933 to 1945. If there's any question, it doesn't mean that the painting was stolen during that period, but it would require further research.
You can find out more about The Rape of Europa and all the other films we've profiled in this series on our website, californiareport.org. For that matter, you don't have to miss a single cast of this program. We podcast. You'll find a link on the website and, of course, at iTunes. That's the California Report for Friday, January 18th, a production of KQED Public Radio. Our engineer is Howard Gelman, with additional engineering from Danny Bringer, Seal Muller, Tom Krimkowski, and Jim Bennett. The show was directed this week by Mina Kim and Susie Racho. Our interns are June Stinson, Ali Tabatabai, and Leanne Lucetta. The editor is Kat Snow. Our senior editor is Pat Flynn. The producers are Victoria Malione and Erica Kelly. Ingrid Becker is the senior producer. The executive producer is Raul Ramirez. I'm Rachel Miro. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the Wesley Foundation for coverage of immigration issues throughout California.
Support for this public radio podcast comes from Vanguard, offering investments designed to help individuals, institutions, and advisors reach their long-term financial goals. 1-888-VANGUARD.